Today we are continuing our Lenten journey toward resurrection, giving thanks to the God who meets us where we are, but doesn't leave us there. Today's scripture was chosen way back in February, before Lent even began. That seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it? But it feels especially appropriate for today. It tells the story of a time when God's people were scattered and were feeling despair. Sounds a little familiar to me. It tells us that we are broken, but we will be whole. So the passage takes place about 600 years before Jesus is born, and it's in a particularly dark time in the Israelites' history. It feels like the end of their people. The Babylonian Empire has come, has conquered them, has taken over their land, and taken many people into captivity. They were grieving and fearful. It was in this same time frame, we think, that the psalm was written that says, "We have hung our harps on trees by the river of sorrow. We can't sing anymore." Grieving, fearful, little confidence in God or in themselves. In their own words, in verse 11 of our passage today, "Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely finished." Today, they might say, "We are done." They needed to be reminded that God loved them and would sustain them. They needed to feel hope and to see that God wasn't through with them. While we may not have been captured by a foreign empire, we are experiencing a time of being scattered, a time when our familiar and comforting routines may have changed, when simple tasks like grocery shopping have become a lot more complicated, a time when medical care may not be readily available when we need it, a time when we can't even visit the place where many of us feel a deep connection to God, our church building. It feels for many of us as if we and our world are broken. It was in a time such as this that God's Spirit gave the prophet Ezekiel this strange vision of a valley full of dry bones. Ezekiel is minding his own business, and all of a sudden, the hand of God grasps him and carries him off to this valley. And as the Spirit led Ezekiel on this walking tour of horrors, I imagine he must have been equally scared and horrified and disgusted and confused. As a priest, he was prohibited from touching anything dead. Also, according to Jewish tradition, bodies were left unburied as a sign that they had fallen under God's curse. So in Ezekiel's view, these people weren't only dead, they were damned. And his dis-ease probably didn't lessen when God began to question him. "Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Tell me, can these bones live?" The easy answer to that question is, of course not. They're bones, and they're dry, crumbly, old bones. There's no life left in them. But Ezekiel hedged his bets with God. "Lord God, only you know." That was probably a smart answer. Answering that question with a resounding yes would have required that Ezekiel look at the world around him with eyes of faith, rather than trusting the current reality surrounding him. Perhaps all he could do was say, "Well, God, you know, even if I don't believe it." But God was calling him to look with those eyes of faith, to imagine God's power bringing to life the things that were broken and dead. I wonder how we would answer that question right now. As we look around at the brokenness of our world, as we experience our own dried up feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, What would it take for us to believe that the broken bones of our world, our lives, can be knit back together? You may be feeling pretty forlorn right now, and that's understandable. If we trust only what we see, the brokenness can overwhelm us. But thanks be to God, that isn't the end of the story. The Spirit doesn't lead Ezekiel into the valley of bones simply to show him the disastrous end of God's people. Instead, God gives Ezekiel a task: prophesy. Tell these bones about the work that I'm about to do. I wonder how Ezekiel felt as he began to preach to this valley of bones. It might have felt a little like pastors around the world are feeling right now, preaching in empty sanctuaries, faithfully proclaiming the message God has given without knowing if it's being received. Ezekiel doesn't have to wait long, however, to see the results. The bones began to rattle, seeking connection with each other as they're wrapped in skin. And finally, with another word from God spoken by Ezekiel, the wind, the breath, the Spirit fills them, and they are whole. They live. I know right now it can feel like we're in a valley of broken bones, but this passage gives me hope. Our God is a God of healing, always working toward restoration and wholeness. I believe that God's people will come through this valley of despair with new life. You know, it's not just this pandemic that has made the church feel sometimes like a valley, a dry, dusty, bone-filled valley. We've seen declines in church attendance. We've seen churches who are falling away that doesn't feel like the love and grace that Jesus proclaims. We've seen churches struggling to survive. But I really believe that God is doing a new thing, even in the midst of this terrible thing. I've seen signs of God bringing about good things in the midst of this valley. Church members are checking on church members and on neighbors. Folks who haven't been to worship in our sanctuary in years have joined us online. We had at least 18 people in our virtual Bible study on Wednesday night. Our missions committee is hard at work figuring out the best way to use our resources to help those most in need. Hope remains alive in the midst of this pandemic, in the most hopeless of scenarios. The promise that people of God will experience the breath of God bringing new life is being lived out right now around the world. We have to trust in the God who always keeps promises, who never leaves us alone, even when we feel deserted, who cries alongside us, who walks the hospital alongside deserted, exhausted nurses and doctors and caregivers. God ends this passage by saying, "I've spoken and I will do it." God promises that God's people will be given new life. The broken will become whole and all will be made new. And this promise isn't just for the church as a whole, but for us as individuals. God's always working in our lives to bring about wholeness. Our restored self, emotions, relationships may not look like they did before we were broken, but they will still be beautiful. The pieces of broken dishes can be used to make a beautiful mosaic, a new wholeness. Or maybe we can learn from the Japanese art of kintsugi, which uses liquid metal to bring together the broken pieces of pottery in a way that strengthens and enhances them and makes them even more beautiful than they were before they were broken. Our homes, our country, our world may not look like it did before this pandemic. And in many ways, I hope that's true. I hope we're learning some things now about the wholeness that God wants for all of creation. God will join the bones of all these broken things together and reshape them into something more. One of the interesting parts of the story is that God doesn't just make the bones whole or give them life right away. Instead, God calls Ezekiel to play a role in the restoration and resurrection. It isn't until Ezekiel follows God's commandment to prophesy that the bones begin to live. God uses Ezekiel to bring about wholeness. From the beginning of creation, when God gave Adam the job of naming the animals, God has allowed humans to partner in the work that God is doing in the world. What a great gift and great responsibility that is. Where might God be asking you to speak words and take action to bring hope and wholeness and healing to the world around you right now? We are broken. Our world is broken by our failures to love, by those who have failed to love us, by disease, by loneliness, by so much more. But the good news is that God's breath is still blowing. The Spirit is moving, and we will be made whole. May we each feel God's breath in our very bones, and may we come alive in our understanding that God has spoken it and God will do it.